The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. You're listening to Anthony Pipes Hall and Kelly Dr. K. Caulfield, and this is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to this edition of The Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider 88.1.
That open never gets old.
Thank you. This is going to be our last show of the semester.
No, I meant the show open with the music and Derek and all that stuff. But yeah,
I thought you meant me.
No.
Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah, DG never gets old. We like having him on the show. We keep him around for little special effects and everything like that.
Things that he kept us around. I thought that's how it worked, because it's his station.
That's true. So, Tony here with Dr. K in the College of Media and Communications. Jason Kilhoffer at the helm again, our reliable producer.
Hola.
Guns up.
Yeah.
Can you say that on the radio? Okay.
Yeah, sorry. We can.
Yeah. Okay.
For now, for a little bit.
Wait, hola?
Hola?
I think so.
No, the guns up.
Oh, you can't say hola. Okay, sorry.
AP changed
Watch
its
it.
Policy.
We only speak English around here.
Really funny joke I heard some years ago from a Mexican American comedian. And he's doing stand up.
Why are you crying?
No, it's hysterical.
Why are you crying?
He gets on an elevator and he goes, "Hey, I got on this elevator, but I stuck up for you guys, man. I got on the elevator and there were these Chinese people on there and they were speaking Chinese. And I said, 'Hey, man, this is America. Speak Spanish.'" It was hilarious. So, wish I could remember who it was.
See, it's really funny because we're about to have a change in our minority-majority population counts in about 20 years.
Yeah, actually.
See, that's the joke.
Actually,
in case you didn't get it, that's the joke.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, the Hispanic community, not the topic of today's show, but the Hispanic community surpassed the African-American community some years ago as the largest minority in the country, will probably become the majority population in 20 years or so. So it'll be interesting.
Fun fact to tell your friends.
Also not talking immigration today, but changes in immigration policy could contribute mightily to that. Here's another random fact, then we'll get off immigration. Sorry. What's the voter turnout rate by party among Hispanics in the country? Any idea, Anthony? What percentage of Hispanics vote Republican or Democrat?
I would say it's about 5% Republican because of the Cuban population. Is that right?
Good guess. Yeah, actually, the Cubans in South Florida and ironically in New Jersey, Tampa, South Florida, and New Jersey, overwhelmingly vote Republican. They're what I call one-issue Republicans.
Right, that's what I meant. Like,
because
of
the
Hispanic population.
Cuba. Okay, now it's actually about 30% of Hispanics vote Republican.
Oh,
about 70% vote Democrat. So if there's a great big compromise on immigration, again, not the topic of today's show. Sorry for the
aside.
But if there's a great big immigration bill that has legalization of lots and lots, millions of immigrants, about two-thirds or more of them can
we
be expected
call that
to reliably
amnesty.
Yeah, can reliably be expected to vote Democrat. So could be that's a factor in the push to do this on Capitol Hill.
We're just giving you things to think about over the summer.
Okay, sorry.
So what are we talking about today, Dr. K?
You know what bugs me?
What?
You know how like faculty require you to do stuff, but they don't have to do it?
Like research?
Yeah, you do like 5 stories, research. And what do faculty do? They sit around with their feet up, right?
Well, I know you do.
They have some.
You tell me about it every week. You're like, oh, I'm just going to go back to Austin.
Some teaching or research assistant grades the papers for them. And,
right.
You know, it does all that. It's, you know, and then they set rules for you guys. Doesn't that infuriate you that they set
that
rules for you that they don't have to follow?
That's so unfair. Yeah, like, how can they go about doing that?
It's appalling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I came in for my 8 o'clock class Monday and it was a ghost town. Because apparently dead day means dead week here at Texas Tech.
Yeah, basically. I had two classes canceled.
Administration building, nobody was there. The sub was empty. Parking lots were empty. I was like, why the heck am I here if my bosses aren't here? What's going on with that?
Right.
So it infuriates me.
Now, how do you feel about that?
Okay, so we all vote for folks who go to Congress, and they set rules for things like how we can invest, what medical programs we're going to have under the Affordable
Federal
Care
regulations.
Act. Yeah, guess who doesn't adhere to those rules? This is
faculty?
Your topic, by the way.
I know. I was letting you pitch it. So
faculty are exempt from everything, and that's why this week I got to drop the F-bomb. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to drop the F-bomb right
Watch
here.
Watch out.
Radio. Jason was nervous earlier. No, I did. I was trying to get in a parking lot, and there was a special event, and it's my regular parking lot. They didn't want to let me in, and I leaned out the window,
and
I pointed, and
F-bomb.
I dropped the F-bomb. I said, hey, I'm faculty,
Ooh.
And this is my regular lot. And
See,
he immediately
it's funny
smiled
because...
and saluted and waved me in. So
yeah.
That's the one time you can drop the F-bomb.
So did he actually think that you looked young enough to be a student here?
I doubt it. I'm pretty sure he was suspicious at the get-go. So.
Oh, just some random dude rolling in like, I'm going to park over here.
No. I pretty much look like, you know, come on. When do I not look like faculty, right? So anyway. Today?
Okay. So anyway. So the idea of the show
that.
Is if you couldn't tell, we're going to be talking about how Congress excludes themselves from the laws that they pass.
And
now,
sadly,
this isn't just one thing.
I was going to say, sadly, we have multiple examples of this.
Now, how does that make you feel, America? How do you feel about that? Congress is passing laws that you have to follow, but they exempt themselves from because, I have no idea. Because, question mark.
Because they can. It's appalling. Here's some good examples. Let's go ahead and give a listen to this week's montage, and we'll explain a little.
Well, there was a huge outcry last week over President Obama's health care overhaul after a Washington political website broke the story that Congress was trying to negotiate some sort of exemption for many of its top staffers. In other words, you can go on the health care exchanges, but not the congressional health staffers.
Hypocrites! 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 Hypocrites!
Obamacare for thee, but not for me.
It's time for a congressional report card. Is it an A for effort or an F for fail?
They're basically failing.
A failing D.
They're not acting like adults, so it's like Sesame Street.
Yeah, even Sesame Street seems to be a little more organized.
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
The fact that they're even thinking about eking themselves out of this is, one, quite honestly, just kind of distasteful and immoral, but
creepy.
Also
it's creepy.
And it's missing a huge possible political victory here, which is, look, we're sitting here, you
good
guys were in
thee,
charge.
Good for thee, but not for me.
The Democrats
should be yelling
the
that.
The Democrats
right
with.
Now the fat cats are crying over wasting milk. Do as I say, not as I do.
You're a fat hypocrite. You don't feel any sorrier for who got it than I do.
We send this, representatives to Washington to do the job. And then years after years, they ring up the debt. We are now at $16.3 trillion debt. Deficit is anywhere between $1.3 and $1.5 trillion. Every year it's getting worse. And then they sit down and they solve 10% of the problem. And for that we are paying for? I mean, this is ridiculous. They should all be fired.
Here's what people prefer to Congress: root canal, head lice, colonoscopies, cockroaches, and France.
We all know that if you look up Congress in the dictionary, it says do nothing f-tards who couldn't solve a problem.
Democrats and Republicans came together late last night
in order to reduce the impact of these sequesters.
Both houses of Congress moved quickly to give the Federal Aviation Administration more flexibility in cutting their budget, allowing them to bring back air traffic controller staffing to 100%.
Why, perchance, that part of the sequester?
A few hours after voting, members left Capitol Hill and headed to the airport for a week-long recess.
All right!
Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Do as I say, not as I do. Vices of virtue, cameras and curfews, little scaramouches of the bending doom.
Oh my God. So there are a few things I want to point out about this montage. First of all, this was done by Dr. K by hand.
They should all be fired.
$16.8 trillion.
We need a governor in Washington.
Okay, terminate. Another thing,
it
like
was better than I remembered it last night.
Well, it was like 2 in the morning, probably. And so that's Dr. K's last montage of the year. It's very good. Congratulations.
I appreciate that.
I'll
Thank
give you.
You
this.
Thank you very much. Had fun doing
and,
it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
And there are a few things that people prefer over Congress. Cockroaches, head lice, colonoscopies, and France.
France! I love that. France. That's just mean.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hysterical. That was actually Bill O'Reilly, and he had Dennis Miller on that segment. That's where I got it from. And Dennis Miller couldn't speak. He was laughing so hard about France, he couldn't speak.
Oh my God.
It was hilarious.
And the nice little rhyming mantra of Obamacare for thee, but not for me.
Yeah, I heard that twice, two different news sources.
That's apparently
this week.
Pretty popular.
Funny, so. Exactly.
So can we use that on MCTV today?
Hey, you know, I think that's a good idea. It's just such a great line. We should sneak it into the news.
I like it.
Yeah.
So we are going to take a break. It's been, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, about that. We'll come back in a bit, and we'll explain more about the latest big article in Politico with lots of details about how Congress tried to get around what you and I can't.
Then we'll flip the coin and start fighting, which is what everybody's looking forward to. Come back to the Raider, 88.1 KTXT FM, Lubbock.
Since the day I saw the cat at my door, so I came into you, sweet lady, answering.
Everybody, welcome back to The Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider, 88.1. Tony Earth, Dr. K. We're talking federal, or rather congressional exemptions from their own rules.
Exemption's a polite word. I like
exemptions.
I like the strong use of hypocrite. And thanks to the band Korn for stating that so succinctly for us. And that mean,
yeah,
you were a little shocked that I
was. I was like, oh my God, this is actually music I recognize.
Credit to my son, Vicente, who introduced me to Korn. I'm not a huge fan, but you know, it's like,
I mean, they have some good stuff.
But I could do the whole show like this.
It's just not my favorite kind of music, but that was a nice piece of clearly a perfect fit.
Clearly.
What you need is a guy screaming hypocrite network. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
We should probably make that a button bar clip.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, so.
Hypocrite.
You should do it for us. That's your
better than you, like, I know. Like, I got that death metal voice going on.
Exactly.
So, instead of talking about my future career in a rock band,
hey, that
Dr. K,
t-shirts, stuff like that. That's
I know, I'm
idea.
Telling you. Like, Dr. K has some actual important information for us to talk about.
Yeah, Lem's coming down the hall. That's important information.
Yeah, there you go.
Lemuel Chung.
Very important information.
Hey, Lem.
Hey, Lem. Oh, I dropped the coin.
Oh, you dropped the. You don't drop
it.
The coin
Sorry.
Yet.
I got it. Just kidding.
Premature flippage, man. Settle down.
So, Dr. K has an article from Politico.
Well, this is what started this whole latest firestorm. This was April 24th. This is the one that threw open the door on the exemption from Medicare. I mean, from Obamacare. We talked before, though, about the other one, and we'll get more into that in a minute, but the flight delays, which John Stewart so elegantly alluded to. And it was worth an entire show. It was scandalous.
It was it's still very important.
They set up, basically, the structure so that the layoffs would cause the most possible pain. And by the way, there were never delays in D.C., despite what John Stewart alluded to, which was ridiculous and appalling. It's like, well, no, we have three major airports in here, but we're not going to have any delays here because—
No delays, because everybody's working around the clock.
Exactly. It was just ridiculous. So we told you about that one some just last week.
Now we've got two other big ones that we're going to talk
about.
Well,
the new one, yeah, and one, and this one's been bugging Anthony for a while.
Yeah,
so
it really bothers me.
Just because he has no money, and so anytime people are finding ways to make money and get around rules that he has to follow.
Ugh, so mad.
See what I'm saying?
So mad.
So this one, Politico published this article April 24th, and it said there were high-level talks, and by high-level, Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, House Speaker John Boehner,
congressional executives,
people from the White House, the top executives on Capitol Hill, were involved in discussions about how are they going to get around having members of Congress get into these healthcare exchanges. And they were trying to exempt themselves from these insurance exchanges that are going to be required by the rest of us. And by the way, that's a hornet's nest. I'm not going to pick sides one way or the other.
Yeah, we're going to stay away from the medical insurance.
Some states are doing it, some states aren't. It looks like about three dozen states will do it. Texas is not. Florida is. Some big states are in. Some big states are not in the exchanges. There's a lot of complication in that. And it really is complicated. And that's what one of the arguments from Capitol Hill is. It's too complex for us to get mired in, given that we have homes in two states, et cetera.
We're not going to argue about this.
Are you kidding me? Well, but my point is.
Oh, Congress.
Congress. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Because they live in two different places.
Well, oh, no.
My beef is it's complicated because you morons made it much too complicated.
Yeah.
In fact, it's
like
more
it's
than,
your own fault.
Well, the healthcare law is more than 2,000 pages, which again is an aside, but these guys are having these high-level talks, by the way, secret talks, not on the floor of the House or the Senate.
In their offices,
yeah,
in their
homes. About how they
on their verandas, sipping tea and and mimosas in the Florida sun.
Well, exactly right.
Sorry, I'm a little bitter.
No, exactly.
A little bitter.
You've got to be cynical about this. And they were doing it in quiet, not on the floor, so that no light would come to it. They were trying to find their way around it. And people immediately jumped on it and rightly called them hypocrites. It was just appalling. So, I mean, I think it's ridiculous. So, and for Democrats especially, who really hammered through the Obamacare to be involved in these talks.
Oh, they want exempted too? Well, how nice. Thanks, guys.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Just crazy. Now, it's funny, as Harry Reid was pushing this, and Harry Reid ended up getting outed partly by Nancy Pelosi, who saw how radioactive it was, didn't want to be part of it. And Mitch McConnell also took a side. He's the number two guy in the Senate Majority Leader.
Yeah, he's a Senate
Minority Leader. I'm sorry, Harry Reid's in charge of the Senate.
We'll get it right here in a minute.
Forgetting which election year.
I thought Mitch McConnell was the whip.
No, McConnell's the Minority Leader in the Senate after Harry Reid. Okay. And so the numbers two, Nancy Pelosi in the House, Mitch McConnell in the Senate, were both gun shy about this. And we're like, what are you, nuts? And they thought it was ridiculous. So the concern was, people said, if we don't cut some breaks, if we don't give some of our top talent on Capitol Hill, not necessarily lawmakers, but the large staffs.
Top talent.
They're gonna leave D.C. and go somewhere else where they can get better health care. That was one of the reasons they were talking about it. Didn't want what they called a brain drain on Capitol Hill.
See, here's...
so obviously funny.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Okay.
Not really funny.
The sink's already dry. There's nothing to drain.
Yeah. Better, so if these people want to up and out Washington,
that
D.C.
toilet's already been flushed.
Yeah, basically. if they want to up and out of D.C., maybe we can just replace them with people who don't, write hypocritical laws. So do you want to flip the coin and debate this one first, or do you want to introduce the other subject too?
Let's flip a coin first so that we can take notes, because this is a little unusual. Usually on the program, and if you're a regular listener, first, bless you. We appreciate the 12 of you. If you're a regular listener, you'll know we usually at this point in the show have a left-leaning sound clip and a right-leaning sound clip. So we get top dogs to back up whichever argument we're taking. Today's is a little different. It's two lawmakers who I'll introduce going head-to-head for about 3 minutes with really good arguments, not as well as us, and plus, I don't think they're as well informed.
Yeah.
And not to pick on the Democrat, but Steve Lynch from Massachusetts, not the best speaker. We wouldn't want him on the radio
show. Well, what show was this on?
You'll hear in a second. It's actually on the Fox News Sunday show.
Well, there you go. So. They're not going to... we won't even get into that.
Well, but there's a reason it was on Fox News Sunday, too, and we'll get into that. But let's go ahead and flip a coin first. I'll introduce these guys with a little background, and then we'll take sides and take notes and play the audio for you.
Okay, so
flip the coin.
For our final show of the semester, my final show, I know everyone's crying about it, but I actually brought, instead of using the coin flip app, we are going to actually flip a gold coin. It is a gold dollar with James K. Polk on it. Oh, hey, sorry, I thought it was a Millard Fillmore
coin.
That's
a long way back.
Yeah, it's a James K. Polk dollar. Yeah, with the Statue of Liberty on the back.
It's a good-looking coin.
Sounds really fancy.
I know, fancy, fancy.
Like a bronze color to it. It's nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is legitimately a gold dollar. Like, I could take this and buy half a soda with it. So,
we've actually flipped a real coin.
Did you steal that from some pirate loot?
Well, just don't let me walk out into the moonlight. See, that was a Pirates of the Caribbean joke.
Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you. So we've set up a microphone.
We even have a third microphone just for the coin flip.
Yeah, fancy, fancy. So, Dr. K, I'm going to let you call this one because I'm flipping it.
Heads, I'm right.
Okay.
Which is to say conservative.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay, so
that's
heads
from every
is James K. Polk and tails is the Statue of Liberty. Here we go.
Come on, President. Come on, President Polk. Come through for me. Oops, it fell on the floor.
Oh, what was it?
It was tails.
It was tails. So now you get to be conservative.
I'm
going to
lean left. I'm in the left chair anyway, so I guess that works out.
Yeah, I guess it works out.
Okay.
You're wearing the red shirt today, though.
Well, but that's okay.
And I'm wearing the blue jacket.
It was just May Day, and, I've always thought red should be the color.
Exactly.
Red should be the color of the left. I always thought they got that backwards in the first place.
Well, that's funny.
To have conservatives
I never thought about it like that. You're right. Okay, so you will be liberal.
First time you've said that in an entire year of doing the show. That's impressive.
Well, I feel like I need to mend some bridges before I go out and try to get a job.
All right, so I'll tell you what, let me this clip a little bit. Well, we'll listen. There's a variety of voices in this clip. It's some different folks, including the president, including...
thank God, because you're going to need it.
President's spokesman, but some hard questions. One of the things I wanted to say, and I should have done it before the coin flip, because now I'm hanging my own self, but that's coming up in a minute. I got ahead of myself with the two lawmakers.
We're getting excited, sorry.
We're going to talk about Benghazi, but let's first talk about this issue, and we'll go ahead and play the sound.
When you pass, what, 2,000-page bills, that's what Obama
Even bigger now. It's like 20,000 pages when you have the regulations in. I mean, the thing is sky
high. It's reached terminal velocity, the number of pages that it is.
Well, there was a huge outcry last week over President Obama's health care overhaul when the Politico website ran a story under the headline, quote, "Lawmakers' aides may get Obamacare exemption."
Harry Reid lied straight to the American people's faces. It's not the first time, of course, but this time he was contradicted and found out and revealed by the second most powerful Democrat on Capitol Hill, that is Nancy Pelosi, just after he and Steny Hoyer had denied that there were ever any talks about this. Of course there were talks about this. They were moving forward. And by the way, this prompted Speaker Boehner to come out and say, no, no, we wouldn't have it any other way than all of us in this thing together.
Well, Boehner's been saying, I want them to be exempted. I want everyone to be exempted. I want you to be exempted. I don't want anybody to have to go under Obamacare.
We have to focus on Republicans for a minute because I told you this was a bipartisan effort to exempt Congress out of this. So if this is such a clear political win, why are Republicans not standing back going, oh, look at the whole hypocrite?
But if you're a congressional staffer, you don't get the win. Your boss gets the win while you go bankrupt.
Illegal immigrants, of course, get an exemption. Labor unions, of course, I mean, they've worked too hard for this president to have to do anything, you know, like join the rest of America. So they get an exemption. And the president's 1,200 favorite business groups and businesses.
So who's left? I mean, maybe we should be asking who's still left in Obamacare versus
the wretched middle class.
Oh, was that it?
Wretched middle.
Sorry, I was busy taking notes so I can slam him in a minute.
He was reading the writing on the edge of his gold dollar coin, actually. That's
for the record, it says E Pluribus Unum.
Which means I'm wildly more prepared because I was taking notes, although I realized I didn't have too many notes supporting my side of this argument, but I'll see what I can do.
That's what you get. That's what you get for not coming prepared.
My own fault editing that. So no, actually, there's compelling arguments on both sides, but go ahead. Give it a shot. I dare you.
Okay, I'll go. I'm kidding. So
not like you to not have something to say.
Yeah, see, I was leaving that one for you. So the thing about this is that the Democrats and the liberals like you should not have pushed this through if you're not ready to totally commit to it. Like, it's totally ridiculous that the Obama administration, all their congressional executives, can't even contribute to something that they wrote in. Like the guy said, who's left in Obamacare that, what the, is that you or me?
It's Nuri calling again.
Oh, okay.
Should I put her on the radio?
Yeah, she wants to help you. That's what it is.
Hey, do you want to help defend my position on the radio? I'm the left today, and we're on the air.
Guys, Nuri Valbona is a photojournalist and Dr. K's wife.
Oh, come on. We're talking about Congress being exempt from its own rules on Obamacare. You got to weigh in on me. I need the help. Tony's clubbing me here.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to pick her up on the mic.
Oh, no. We've done it before.
Okay.
He's just going to put her on speakerphone.
All right. I'll catch you later. Thanks.
Oh, she said no.
Oh, okay.
See, he's going to lose today, and it's going to be her fault.
I kind of needed the help. I like when she calls. She joined us on the air one time, but she's a little gun shy about it. So,
aww.
But that's okay. Listen, very compelling argument, which is Boehner was involved in the talks with Harry Reid at the top. And then when it came to light, Boehner was the first one to rush out and go, no. We don't think we should be exempt. We think everybody should be involved with. And then Megyn Kelly on Fox there, she made the elegant point. Here's Boehner's third position of the day. No, Boehner thinks everybody should be exempt because we should just overturn Obamacare. And so he's got to pick a position, and the position he's going to pick is whichever one's the most popular is going to garner him the most votes for re-election.
Oh, so you mean like every other politician out there in the world?
I guess, but he's the one that got caught cold busted with three perspectives in about 1 week.
Yeah, that's rough. I wish I could defend that, but that's rough either way.
Yeah.
But, you know, you did pick this up from Fox News, which is only one view 24/7, so I guess it kind of makes up for it.
Yeah, okay, fine. But, you know, at least they were talking about Boehner on some other news outlets and at least got him out there. Look, partisan media is out there. You and I watch both. We go to MSNBC and Fox News.
And that's why we're on the radio.
Well, exactly. Huffington Post, Drudge Report. We're kind of all over the map looking at stuff because we always like to be ready to argue both sides, which is kind of funny because we're a little bit schizophrenic ourselves. But anyway, it works out. You know, this the problem is there was this huge need, and I'll remind you again, and I've asked you this question before. Which state in the union has by far the most uninsured?
Texas.
Exactly. And so there are millions of people around the country, some 20 million people who are uninsured. We have to have Obamacare in. And if members of Congress need to exempt themselves from it to keep their best talent on their staffs. I get it, because they still have access to go to these big law firms in D.C. and New York, get good jobs that have rich health plans. And in the defense of the lawmakers, even though they were in these secret talks, Harry Reid wasn't trying to get out of it. John Boehner wasn't trying to get himself exempted from Obamacare. They were just trying to help their staffs not do it so that top talent could keep these public jobs, which frankly pay less than private sector jobs, especially in law. Well said.
All you're doing is spewing crap at the microphone.
Oh, for God's sakes, at least I'm saying something in defense of one side of the argument. Come on.
What is that supposed to... Okay, that's it. The gloves are coming off.
Okay.
So here's the deal. These exemptions, like I just said, they're totally worthless. And all you're doing is setting a bad example for the rest of the country, for your followers who are supposed to be behind you all the time.
Well, it's
how are
like
they going to support you?
First exemption, look at the businesses that have been exempted. They've gone whining to the president like, we can't McDonald's and stuff. I mean, come on. What's up with that?
But, okay, out of his three perspectives, Mitch McConnell's the most recent one. Was it Boehner?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, I'm getting my names mixed up.
No, that's okay. Happened to me earlier.
I'm getting so excited. Boehner's three perspectives, the last one, the most recent one about this not needing to be a thing at all, is the right one. If we're in this bad decision we're going to make, if we're going to keep Obamacare, it should be across the board for everybody. Because if you're just going to levy it on the middle class, like you said, you're going to stump businesses. And whether or not top talent can keep their jobs in Washington should depend on their competitiveness in the market and their ability to actually do the jobs, instead of some abstract, it starts with an A, you know, some...
Abstract A. Look, yeah. You're the ones, you clowns are the ones who are
this
always
is why
arguing
I shouldn't be on the radio.
About cutting costs of the government. And here's an opportunity to cut costs for the government. If we exempt these folks, if we get them away to get into some private health plans, then we're going to be able to keep them in D.C. rather than have to pay them seven-figure salaries or big six-figure salaries, which is what they're being offered on Wall Street and in the law firms in D.C., the lobbyists over on K Street. The only way to keep these folks is to go ahead and reward them properly. And you guys have a bad habit of just wanting to cut every budget and never pay anybody that works for the federal government. You're forcing the hand of these lawmakers who are trying to keep their best staff.
But they're doing it secretly. If they wanted to defend their staff, they could have done it out and out so everybody would know what they're doing, and then the general public could be able to make their own decisions about it.
Okay, well, that's actually a valid point. Sunshine is always the best way to go about this stuff. And in fact, one of the knocks against it is the fact-check team, the Philadelphia Inquirer, went and looked, and they said, listen, calm down with all the hyperbole over Congress trying to exempt itself from Obamacare. They looked and they said, in their defense of the Congress members, there's no bill being written or even proposed to go on the floor of the House or Senate that does any such thing as exempting Congress members or their staff from the Obamacare. So they actually are basically debunking the Politico article saying, you have to have legislation to make a change like this. And there's no such legislation. So it's just a fiction in the first place. Although, again, sunshine would help because even though it wasn't legislation yet, secret talks were underway, which is kind of annoying.
That's how legislation starts. I mean, anybody in government or who studies politics knows that it all starts with an idea.
These things get started.
Right. Okay. And so the idea is, if you're going to just talk about giving exemptions, the next step is logically going to be writing something, whether it's going to pass or not. The sheer idea of exempting these people from something that they wrote is bull.
Or even worse, not doing legislation but circumventing legislation and just making it without writing it down.
That's something the Obama administration loves to do. Thank you.
Executive mandates. Nicely done.
Thank you.
So our other two issues, again, we talked about the flight one, which was Congress doubly exempted itself from that one. One, it never affected the airports in D.C. Two, when it was even threatening to impact the airports in D.C. at such time as Congress was about to go on a break for a couple of weeks and fly home to their districts, that's when they rushed through and fixed this legislation.
So, we're going to shift $253 million from our repair and maintenance and improvements budget over to these traffic controllers because suddenly it's important.
It's hard for either of us to have sympathy over this one. So, and this was a manufactured crisis. Wonder if we should, now, you know what? I'm not even going to flip the coin because we're both going to be on the same side on this last one.
Yeah.
Which is one of your pet issues.
Sorry, everybody. Like, I wish we could argue about this.
I wish we could defend this third one, but we're just not even going to try. And you'll know why, because it's your money at play and you're going to be as pissed off as we are.
Yeah. So here's the deal. The Stock Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act, or colloquially and very cleverly, the Stock Act.
Yeah, exactly.
Is a bill that was it passed?
Actually, yeah, it was passed by a wide margin in January 2012.
Okay, so it was passed that
So Congress, go ahead and explain the background. Okay, Congress, until 2012, nobody thought to ask about this out loud, Congress had special rights.
Yeah, so when you trade on Wall Street, as a private businessman.
When I trade on Wall Street, when I find out inside intelligence from medical device makers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's illegal to trade based on what they call insider knowledge, which is basically you can predict and make trades based on something that you know that's going to happen in the industry, in a business. If someone is going to make a big move that will make their stock skyrocket, you can buy early and sell later.
So, Jason Gilhofer, keep that media tip on the down low.
What was that?
Said, make sure you keep that media tip on the down low.
I said, Jason. What was that?
Okay, shh. What?
That's
okay.
Better.
All right. Okay.
Don't glad you about. Finally got the joke.
Okay, sorry.
So.
Okay, go.
So again,
the sun shined on this, and people found out, well, I have to report these things like this inside media company tip. If I'm giving you tips on media company, if it's a media company, don't buy the stock. Come on. What do you think?
Right, right. Basically.
Okay.
But it's illegal to trade using insider knowledge for everybody.
For us.
Until January 2012.
Well, in Congress, it really never was.
It was never illegal because they had what they called congressional knowledge, which is they're writing legislation. They're speaking with business people, lobbyists, and stuff like that.
We're having hearings. People are coming into our committee meetings.
And they're telling them stuff that their companies are up to regarding usually federal regulations.
Yeah, if we happen to learn things in those hearings that gives us a leg up on whether and when to buy a stock, well, that's okay. We should just do it.
Because that's just part of their congressional jobs, right? Wrong.
Yeah. People found out and got pissed off.
Right. And so they were basically, quote, forced to do something about it. And so in January 2012, they passed the Stock Act, which made it illegal for members of Congress to trade based on insider knowledge, congressional knowledge. But here is the but. It is still totally legal for aides and associates of these Congress members to trade on that same knowledge.
Well, here's what they did. They passed a law in January 2012, and it was signed by a wide margin. Both parties supported it. The president signed it, and it put some limitations on what they could do with this political intelligence, was the phrase they used, but with this inside knowledge of industry, which they were kind of openly using to profit from. And their complaint was they only make, what is it, 130-some thousand a year?
Only $176,000.
Yeah, they only earn that much per year in a salary, and so clearly they can't be expected to.
What's a starting salary for a reporter again? $25,000, maybe.
Could be that much. Yeah, it could be.
If you're really good,
it depends where you are.
Yeah, and actually, so they're making only
the Avalanche Journal pays about that. Some of the broadcast jobs in Lubbock pay less than that. I'm just saying.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it's great work, so it's fun. Anyway, one of the rules they implemented was Congress did have to report when they used insider intelligence or were exposed to it, but they only had to report it once a year around tax time. And so one of the rules that changed with this law that passed, again, by a wide margin in January 2012.
Bipartisan support.
They put in a rule where they had to notify if they had any change in any securities, stocks, anything like that.
Anything on Wall Street.
Exactly. If they traded it, they had to report within 45 days, which is more of a standard practice. In fact, some reporting requirements are shorter than that, but Congress made it 45 days instead of once a year.
A month and a half.
Right. And that was in 2012, and everything was fine that year. And then
recently.
2013 rolled around. And Friday, April 12th, 2013. What's significant about Friday, April 12th, 2013?
It's the Friday before tax day.
Exactly. And tax day is when the 45-day report was due for the first time this year. So Congress actually met, you probably haven't heard about this, less than a month ago, April 12th, 2013. Congress met and they discussed some legislation. Any idea what happened with the legislation?
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I bet they canceled that 45-day requirement.
They voted to restore the one-year reporting instead of the 45-day reporting.
How hypocritical is that?
And guess when the 45-day reporting was due?
April 15th.
Monday after this vote, exactly, on tax day. And remember, the vote to implement this was a pretty big majority, both parties. How big do you think the vote was to get rid of the 45-day?
Unanimous.
Every single lawmaker in both houses voted to throw out that restriction.
Because nobody had probably nobody had filed. Nobody wanted to go through this idea of, what do they call it, transparency in government?
Yeah, let me put your hat over my face. And that's about how transparent this was.
Yeah, basically.
Unbelievable. Just the audacity. This is why we can't flip
hypocrites.
A coin. We can't flip a coin on this one because it's absolutely ridiculous.
Trying to defend this again would be pathetic.
Oh, it's just appalling. So anyway, Congress.
They did. Congress defended it. Come on.
Like I said.
Unanimously.
Like
exactly.
I said, it would be pathetic.
You can do it.
Okay.
And why don't you come do it, Jason?
Sad thing is these idiots
will
still get
I'm just the guy
reacted.
On the side. Let me sit over here in my corner and ignore most of the things
what,
you guys
say.
What,
did you hear the word pathetic and feel like you needed to jump in? Is that what happened?
That's usually about when I like to jump in.
Sorry, Jason.
I don't know. I like to make fun of Anthony, too. So.
Anything but also pretty easy marketing, too. So I get it.
Shut up.
Anyway, this was just beyond the pale and beyond any coin flip because... Yeah, we'd need a two-faced coin, actually, to flip on this one. So, okay, sorry. Had
just
to
like them.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So, anyway, this one's pretty appalling, and we want all of you to be aware of it so that you can vote the bums out, whoever your lawmaker is. Sorry.
The midterm elections will be coming up in a year and a half.
Sorry, Congressman Nagelbauer, who's a friend of the show, but who apparently voted for this.
Who probably trades on the inside on cotton. He's trading on your investments.
And commodities are part of this. Commodities are subject to these same rules or lack thereof.
Yeah, or lack thereof.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Just keep that in mind when midterms come up.
All right, well, let's take a little break with an appropriate song here. We'll come back shortly, and we're going to move on to another issue that's been big in some, but not all, of the news.
Some.
Exactly. It'll be fun.
Come back to the Raider on KTXT. Wait, come Devil's back to the Advocate. Devil's Advocate on the Raider, KTXT 88.1. And welcome back to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, the Raider, 88.1. I got it that time.
Okay, good.
Got it that time. Okay, so now we're going to switch topics, and
We were on the floor under the desk for a minute during
Because I dropped my coin.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we're going to flip it again because we're so happy about it, and we're going to talk about Benghazi. Now, as everyone remembers, there was an attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi on September 11th, 2012.
That was a long time ago.
Wasn't it our first show was about Benghazi?
We did talk about it. Yeah, we talked about it. In fact, we had a guest from Political Science come in. Yeah,
exactly. There's some divinity in that, you know, like our first and last show.
Yeah.
We just thought about that, guys. Okay, so anyway.
Actually, he just thought of it. I'm so old, I didn't remember.
Yeah, basically. So what's happened is in recent days, a couple of people inside the military have come forward, and the State Department have come forward to testify to Congress that there was actually something else we could have done, and there were steps being taken at the time of the attack on September 11th to help save American lives. Or so they say.
Well, exactly. And that's the plan. If you'll remember, what happened is very abruptly on September 11th, 2012.
11 years after the big attack on the World Trade Center.
To the day. And there had been alerts in the intelligence community that something was afoot. And this is shortly after Libya, never a stable place, was deposed and had become slightly more democratic, although there's a big foothold there from the Muslim Brotherhood.
Which is questionable on its own.
Not exactly the most stable place, and there were clearly some concerns about security already.
It was also amidst a bunch of riots in Egypt at the same time.
Which were attributed to a video.
To the same thing.
They were attributed to a video made by a guy who turned out to be a California filmmaker who made this video that was disparaging to the Prophet Muhammad.
Which is punishable by death in the Islamic religion.
And so they claimed that video was behind both the unrest in Egypt and in Libya.
And resulting accumulating basically, coming to a head at the attack on Benghazi, which resulted in the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens.
Mm-hmm. First ambassador to die in duty in some 15 years since the 1990s.
Since Bosnia,
three people died there. Also two ex-special forces guys who were trying valiantly to defend him and were at his side. But yeah, I mean, big story, big tragedy. Should have gotten more play than it got. Came up in the vice presidential debate, which was not too long after that.
Right.
Joe Biden, Paul Ryan, and so they went at it.
They had a good head-to-head over that.
Yeah, actually, pretty tense, but some new information has come out, which is, Anthony was alluding to it. A couple folks have been wanting to talk about it. Let's go ahead and listen to this debate, and this is a debate between Congressman Stephen Lynch, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who's a Republican from Utah. And these are the two sides arguing with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday.
There are people in your own State Department saying they've been blocked from coming forward, that they survived the terror attack, and they want to tell their story. Will you help them come forward and just say it once and for all?
Ed, I'm not familiar with this notion that anybody's been blocked from testifying. So what I'll do is I will find out what exactly you're referring to.
They've hired an attorney because they're saying that they've been blocked from coming forward.
I'm not familiar with it.
Benghazi happened a long time ago. We are unaware of any agency blocking an employee who would like to appear before Congress to provide information related to Benghazi. These allegations are part of an unfortunate pattern of spreading misinformation and politicizing this issue. Anybody who wants to be heard by Congress is welcome to be heard by Congress, in our view.
They've been trying to sweep this under the rug from the beginning. I have maintained that they should have initially they needed to come clean on the talking points issue, on who pushed the video, who gave Ambassador Susan Rice the bad information, and they owe it to these the families of these four Americans who were killed to be upfront about it. Now, if he's saying that they're okay with them testifying, then let's have that hearing next week.
But if I may, Congressman, why is it that we have not heard in public from a single person who was on the ground in a congressional hearing?
Well, the Republicans control the House. We've had investigations. Nordstrom came forward. We've had other witnesses. You've had hearings here prior to the recent elections. The House, you could ask Mr. Chaffetz why they haven't brought up people if you want to know that. We don't have the ability to hold a hearing. The Democrats have been completely kept out of this whole process. This has been a one-sided investigation, if you want to call it that. There's been no sharing of information in a significant way with the Democratic staff members who usually conduct this type of investigations. I think it's disgraceful, to be honest with you.
This week, a lawyer for one of the witnesses said that the State Department has threatened officials who wanted to testify. State responded and said they don't know of anybody who was requested to testify. Let's watch that exchange.
I'm not talking generally. I am talking specifically about Benghazi, that people have been threatened, and not just the State Department. That people have been threatened at the CIA.
We repeatedly have this person saying that they had a whistleblower who's been held back from telling their story, and we're not aware of this individual or anyone who's asking to tell their story.
Congressman Chaffetz, has the Obama administration blocked potential witnesses from testifying or not?
Absolutely, and more than one. We've asked for the non-classified version of how do these people get an attorney that has a degree of classified information, and they still haven't given us that.
The only reason that the attorneys, and there have been two attorneys involved here, the only reason that they haven't received information is they haven't asked for it yet. They haven't asked for it. There has not been a request for documents from these attorneys to the State Department. The State Department is more than willing to cooperate, but they haven't asked for this. The only retaliation I've heard of here is that one of these witnesses wants a reassignment and a promotion. He hasn't gotten the promotion that he wanted, and he's saying that that's somehow retaliation. When Secretary Clinton and the State Department asked for additional funding for embassy security, they all voted no. They all voted no.
No, of course here.
No, this is the point.
Congressman,
they're complaining about a lack of security at the embassies after they voted against for funding for security at the embassies. That's what they're complaining about, is a lack of security at the embassies when they all voted to cut $500 million
from embassy security. Congressman Chaffetz,
is that not related?
The chief financial officer for the State Department said in an email that finances had nothing to do with the decisions about funding at the facility.
A very nice long segment on Fox News Sunday about the attacks on Benghazi and what we could have done. And what's happening is we're looking at the surrounding effects of it. And like Dr. K just said, there are so many moving parts to this, you know?
Well, there really is. There's a lot of complexity to it. We'll talk about it and we'll touch on all the points. Should we flip a coin or not?
Yeah, let's go and do that. I got it right here.
Okay, so we're going to flip your coin again.
Yeah, and I'll call this one.
Okay.
I'm going to call that we should have sent special forces right in, and it's going to be heads.
Okay. Looks like tails.
It is tails.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Yeah, right. Look at that. Okay, so you get to argue.
Clearly should have sent them in, and I'm not the only one saying this. There's a U.S. diplomat, Gregory Hicks, who's actually testifying today about this finally. There was a push to get people to talk, and that kind of throws it in the face of Congressman Lynch, who was saying, well, Republicans control the House. Why won't they? And it's because there were threats from people at the State Department against testifying about this. There were a number of assets available. We're finding out from this guy, Greg Hicks, this diplomat, said there were go-fast planes. There were
fast movers.
Thank you. Go-fast jets. Go-fastest boats. My bad. Fast mover planes. I spent too many years in Miami where they talk about go-fast boats bringing in contraband from the islands. Anyway, sorry. Greg Hicks said there were fast movers, there were jet fighters available that could have come in. There are some folks in special forces who thought that just the presence of those jets would have scared away the attackers because they'd have been afraid of a laser-guided attack, which they were familiar with from that area of the world. And then the other thing is there were...
Sorry. That just sounded really inappropriate
to me. Okay, sorry. Sorry. Anyway. Okay, take the high road.
Okay, so
there also were special ops troops who were getting on a Libyan aircraft to try and rush in and help. They had some special forces guys ready to go in and help. And these assets were actually stood down. They were called off by people in the State Department. And I'll remind you, the State Department is part of the executive branch of government. So go ahead. What were you going to try to say in defense?
Oh, I'm going to try. Okay, so here's the problem. If you're going to send in, like, apparently this special forces group was boarding a C-130. The State Department had to put the brakes on it because you don't know who's attacking you. In the case that this was, and it was only discovered afterwards that this was a terrorist attack, you have no idea who is actually shooting at you. And the State Department is responsible for maintaining diplomatic relations with the rest of the world. If you're going to go in guns blazing and just start mowing down people outside of an embassy, you're going to create a national or an international incident. And we cannot afford for that in such a precariously perched area of the world.
Oh, yeah. We didn't already have people out there shooting with abandon, machine gunning on the street. That called for an answer, which is what these guys were going to go provide. I mean, come on.
Plus, if you really wanted all that kind of that offensive power in the area, you can't just go on and say – you can't just cut security and – what is this? Sorry. I had notes, and I scribbled them down, and I can barely read them now.
Okay.
And
I'll tell you
but
later.
But you can't cut $300 million from national security, from diplomatic security like this, and expect to be able to just suddenly throw jets an hour away.
This is the argument that Joe Biden made during the vice presidential debate, and Paul Ryan ably debunked him there, and you heard a reference to it in the audio clip we just played. That played no role. In fact, the State Department chief financial officer said that funding cuts played no role at all in assets for Benghazi and support for Benghazi. And by the way, the ambassador, Chris Stevens, had asked previously for help, for support, and hadn't gotten any from the State Department even before this attack. They just weren't ably prepared. It was like they had blinders on at the White House over this attack. And it's about time we had somebody
you're
coming
to the White House about it.
Well, of course, it's the executive.
That's
branch.
Really cool.
That's how the coin flip went. You know how it works. Anyway, we are finally getting some testimony about this, and so we'll learn a little bit more.
So you should make sure that if you're interested in this, which everybody should be interested in this, the big news people like the Washington Post, New York Times will have something on this tonight.
Yep. Thursday morning, the Washington Post will have coverage on this.
And you really need to look into it. I know we will, and we may not be able to fight about it on the air, but I'm going to go to Dr. K's office and beat on the door and say, hey, guess what I read today?
Okay.
So we're going to take a short break.
My window opens. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can escape off the third floor. We're going to take a short break and come back with some lightheartedness to end the show with. And so we'll see you back on The Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider 88.1.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul. The devil opened up his case and he said, I'll start this show, and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up.
So, you know, I never have been a big fan of country western or corn, but I'm starting to really appreciate some of these other genres of music because of this show. So
we're expanding his horizons.
That is just a great piece of music.
And everyone missed the Devil's Advocate choir going on singing along to this song because we love it so much.
Exactly. That was us screaming at the top of our lungs while the song was playing.
All three of us and our guests in the studio.
So I'm going to have a little fun here. Anthony doesn't know I did this, but I'm going to embarrass
you.
This last clip is actually not Saturday Night Live. It's a little montage I put together of you and the last year on the show, because this is our last show together. He's going to graduate. I envisioned this idea of the radio show a couple years ago. Thought I'd do it maybe with phone calls coming in. Didn't really have that opportunity. And then Anthony turned up, journalism major, political science minor, very well informed. And I thought, plus a great radio voice.
What are you doing?
So I'm going to play some of the best of Anthony Hall over the last year. And it's kind of fun. So let's go ahead and give a listen.
This is going to be really cinematic.
It's probably full of
please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Devil's Advocate. I'm Tony here with Dr. K.
Hang on. I'm jamming on the tunes. Give me a second here.
Come on. We got a show to do.
And we're going to do what we do, which is we don't know until the coin flips whether I'm going to be liberal or conservative this week. And
or
vice
whether
versa.
You're going to be right or wrong.
Well, and who's this next to me?
You know me. Tony here with the arrogant Dr. K trying to take over my show.
Tony, welcome back. Good to see you.
What's so simple?
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider 88.1. Guest hosted on TTUHub.net, courtesy of The Hub at TTU, a new media platform here at the College of Media and Communications. I'm trying to talk as fast as I can so that I can keep Dr. K off the microphone.
The radiation's dissipating. We've been able to contact some half of the population from Pittsburgh.
But
who survived
the state
the attack.
Of our union is strong. We could be at war. And
yes.
The state, like civil war, like we will be when the UN rolls into Lubbock and we have to get all our guns. The state of our union is strong. Ronald Reagan raised the debt ceiling 19 times.
Verklempt.
Yeah.
Are you going for like a triple word score? I'm trying to have a moment and you go dropping a word like verklempt.
That's tech only also. Big12TTUHub.net. That's my Josh Cook impression.
Surely all those issues have been resolved, haven't they?
No. Now, before we get more into it, before I start reminding you how wrong you are, I think we need to flip the coin. Okay, stop. Stop. Jason has given us the stop.
The fiscal cliff.
Now, this was important because it was going to finally dig into your freaking things that you never want to compromise on. Let's see. The economy, manufacturing, oil, gas, alternative fuels, global climate change. I wish I had like a thing where I could just like speed up where I'm talking because that's how I feel reading this.
Yeah.
So, okay, aside from what were we just talking about?
Now it's this Friday.
Yeah.
This Friday. He explains that so much better than I do. Yeah. 2 days from now. This Friday.
No. They're trying to give back money to the middle class. If you get rid of these, I mean, we've cut this.
He just said so.
But why is our debt still $17 trillion?
For crying out loud.
Please.
The lightning round.
I have the big heart.
Right.
You have the bleeding heart.
Yes.
Oh, God, this topic's a little scary since we're so mad at each other.
This is going to be awesome. Okay. Next is guns, assault weapons, and high-capacity magazines.
For God's sakes.
Awesome.
This is my topic. I'm getting excited.
See,
I have that memorized.
My age, I can't remember how to drive to work, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, that's because you can afford a chauffeur.
Well, it makes
the conservatives cry.
Do we have a printer here on the radio station?
They get on our radio programs like this, and they sob and weep about the deficit like it's literally punching them in the face every morning when they wake up. It also buys those CEOs another jet.
Oh my God. Unemployment, healthcare, the border, cops, firefighters, nurses. He said educators could lose their I could be out of work. Our aircraft carriers are going to sink.
You cannot go and sink my battleship.
So it's 10%
of 28%, which is only about 2.8%.
Doctors say he's got a 50-50 chance of living. Though there's only a 10% chance of that.
You want our men and women to stay in combat.
No,
too late. You already said it.
KTXT.
Are we done?
You took my intro.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I thought it was my turn.
Well.
Okay, wait. I'll stop. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT The Raider 88.1.
So much better. KTXTFM.org
and TTUHub.net for the hub at TTU. I ain't got no problem going back to prison.
With the scariest song in the history of the Devil's Advocate.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you did that. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for a great year. Thank you, Dr. K, for helping me do this.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Thanks for helping me launch
it. Make sure to come back in September for next semester's edition of the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider 88.1.